Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Rick, and I'm part of the worship team. Reverend Cindy has had this past week to rest and reflect and rejuvenate, we hope, and she'll be back with us next Sunday. This morning, we welcome back Reverend Cindy Maybeck to lead us in worship. Not her first time at FCC Natick, but her first time in our renovated sanctuary. Reverend Cindy has been a pastor for 20 plus years. In addition to the UCC, our denomination, she has standing in the American Baptist churches and with the Disciples of Christ. So welcome back, Cindy.
Good morning, I'm Lane. I was waiting for a great introduction, but so I have a couple generosity announcements, and I just want to say this is an extremely generous congregation. Last Sunday, we took a special communion offering to respond to the crisis and SNAP benefits being held up, and we collected, and this is just from the offering yesterday. It hasn't counted what's coming through electronically. And it was in the link on Friday. Over $2,000. And so we're splitting that three ways. We're sending, I think, $790 to a place to turn, Natick Service Council, and then the rest we're gonna use to buy gift cards. So that was extremely generous. That was one of the biggest offerings I think we've had in a while. So, moving on. So you have two opportunities to invest in FCC Natick. Next week, folks in persons are invited to bring their 2026 sustainer form with them for an in-gathering and a blessing. And if you can't be with us, mail them or email them to generosity, that's G-E-N-E-R-O-S-I-T-Y, at fccnatick.org. And we'll include them. If you have any questions, you can see me or Gail. There she is. And then the second announcement is today after worship, folks on site can learn about planned giving. Bill and Jeanette have easy ways we can all be part of this ministry long after we're gone. And Jeanette says we will definitely be done before the 1 o'clock kickoff.
As we prepare to light the Christ candle, I invite you to take a deep breath. Loosen your shoulders, loosen your face, maybe even let your mouth smile. There was once someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people had to follow him. And as they followed him, they wondered who he really was. One time when they asked him, he said, "I am the light." And so we light the Christ candle to shine that light out into the world. This light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places at all times. Let us welcome the light. Thanks, Karen.
Good morning, I'm Karen. Please join me in the call to worship. Hints and whispers abound. God seeks us where we are. A voice calls our name in the twilight of sleep. A call seen in the outstretched hands of the poor. A new dawning of insight while at prayer. An internal shift of perception that is felt in the heart. A joyous peace in the midst of play. A lifting of a burden, a flood of tears, a bushel of laughter. God is so near, guardian and friend who speaks to us. Please join in the opening hymn, "All Creatures of Our God Now Sing." God, as we sit here this morning, help us to be present in this moment. Help us to calm our minds from the busy week and listen to your messages for us. As we join together as a community of faith, let us find peace in your presence. We bring our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please rise to greet each other with the passing of the peace. God's peace be with you.
Good morning. I am so delighted to be back at First Congregational Church in Natick. The place looks fabulous. Oh my gosh, I remember worker people coming and going, and anyway, what a lovely, lovely work you have done to make this physical space so beautiful, as well as the online space. Welcome to all of you who are worshiping virtually. We indeed worship a God in such a way that's beyond time and space. So whether you are here in person or whether you are watching now or sometime in the future, we are all one body of Christ. I'm delighted to be with you, and I offer you a blessing. How great that your ministers, the other Cindy, Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, I'm the other Cindy, she's the original. But what a blessing for you to have her as your senior pastor. And may I say, what a blessing that she has you as her beloved church, and for her to take this week of study leave and have an opportunity to rest and get ready for the continued busyness of the wonder of church here in Natick. What a gift you are to one another, pastor and people. It's my joy to be with you. If you've seen me preach before, you know I have this curious little quirky gift of telling scriptures by heart. And I always ask that you not read along, but listen to the scripture told. And I have two of them for you this morning. The first is a rather lengthy piece by Paul. It's his second letter to Timothy. And I'm going to tell you the first chapter, verses 1 to 14. So here's the Apostle Paul. You hear it here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and in hope of the promise of the life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of God, our Creator, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as did my ancestors, whenever I remember you, as I do constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle that gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give a spirit of cowardice, but God gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel and the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's purpose and grace, which God gave to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but has now been revealed to us through the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is for this gospel that I was appointed a herald, an apostle, a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that God is able, until that day, to guard the deposit that I have entrusted to him. And so hold to the standard of teaching that you have heard from me, the sound teaching that you heard from me in the faith and in the love that is in Christ Jesus. And guard the deposit given to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. I also wanted to share with you a gospel telling. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Yeah. It goes like this. The apostles asked Jesus, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Oh, please hurry, come and take your place at the table?' Would you not rather say to your servant, 'Prepare dinner for me, put on your apron, serve me as I eat and drink, you may eat and drink later'? And do you thank the servant for doing what was commanded? So when you do all that you're ordered to do, you shall say, 'Oh, we are but worthless servants, for we have only done what we ought to have done.'" Here ends this rather curious gospel telling. Thanks be to God. Do you guys know how big a mustard seed is? Exactly, like this. And I couldn't find any to bring in, but they're teeny, teeny, tiny. Take a pretend mustard seed and put it in your palm. It's kind of a brown-black color. It's like round, like a tiny little ball, and it's teeny, tiny. And then you're gonna take that teeny, tiny mustard seed and put it in your heart. Pretend to put it in your heart. Good job. So what Jesus says is, if you have faith, teeny, teeny, tiny little bit of faith, you know what you can do? You can take a tree. Okay, what kind of tree are we imagining? Think of a big tree. What do you think? What kind of a tree? Oh, I love that, an apple tree with like red apples. Think of another tree, because we might all have different trees. Oh, a palm tree, really, really tall, right? With those, and some, do they have like coconuts hanging from them? They do. What's another kind of tree? A what? A red, now there is a huge, have you guys seen redwood trees? They are like so big and so tall. So any of those trees, picture in your mind, in your imagination, that tree. And here's what Jesus says. If you have a teeny tiny bit of faith in your heart, you can take that tree and say, "Be uprooted." And that tree goes boing over to the ocean, splash, and it grows in the ocean. Do you know of palm trees in the ocean? Me neither. How about redwood trees in the ocean? I think Jesus was being silly. That's what I think. I think when he told his disciples about an apple tree, a palm tree, a redwood tree, or a mulberry tree getting plucked up and dropped into the ocean and growing, I think the disciples were like, "Jesus, that's silly." There's one thing I know about him, is he's really funny. But I wonder if he's trying to teach us that all we need is a little bit, a tiny bit of love in our heart, and amazing things you couldn't imagine could happen. So I was trying to think, what amazing things could happen, you know, with like a $2,000 offering? What if people who were hungry, everybody had enough food? Wow. What do you think? What else would be an amazing thing with a tiny little bit of seed that could be just huge and amazing and like crazy, like no one's ever seen before? What do you think?
Seeds.
Say it again.
Seeds.
Say it one more time.
More seeds.
More seeds, I love that. So if we have a tiny little seed in our heart, we can make more seeds. You know what that means? That means more kids in Sunday school, more people in the choir, more people in the pews, more people on the screen, more people working together to love Jesus. A tiny little seed can make more seeds. That is such a good point. I was also thinking about the people in Ukraine. Like, what if a tiny seed of faith meant there'd be no more war? Right? What if a tiny seed of faith meant that there was actually enough land for everybody and nobody had to argue over land anymore, anywhere on the planet, right? And I know it's hard to believe of the tiny little seed that big things can happen, but Jesus has a way of making us laugh. And it opens our imagination to think, what is it? We don't need a lot. We just need the love of Jesus, a tiny little bit. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for a tiny little seed that grows into laughter, a tiny little seed that grows into more seeds, a tiny little seed that grows into peace and enough food for all. We ask you to bless us with your love and faith in your goodness. We pray in his name. And all the children said, amen. All ages say amen. Thank you so much. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've enjoyed putting those words of 2 Timothy in my heart and in my voice and in my telling. I appreciate you listening to that. What caught my attention first, of course, is that he mentions mothers and grandmothers by name. It's very exciting when we see names of women in the Bible. It doesn't always happen. And indeed, Paul did a lot to support women clergy, women pastors, and husband-wife teams of pastors early in the church. And I think what really struck my imagination as I prepared this to share with you is Paul's conviction and clarity about the joy of the resurrection and a Savior who abolished death and brought eternal life and immortality, and just this clarity in throughout the epistles. He has this language that he says over and over again, and I don't know about you, but I've been wanting some certainty about the love of God in a world that sometimes seems so chaotic. And I hear people speaking about Jesus in ways that are not welcoming or open or affirming. And so I want to take those words of Paul and put them into this body and this voice and present them to this beloved community, one that welcomes all and loves and serves and seeks peace and justice, so may it be. And the gospel, indeed, is a curious one, and perhaps like me, you enjoy verse 6 the best, about that mustard seed growing in such a crazy way. But then Jesus turns it to this parable about, in the New Revised Standard Version, it says slavery. I'm so uncomfortable with that image. I moved us into thinking about servants, and even that is a bit uncomfortable. I can't imagine myself saying, here, serve me dinner, but apparently people do. There's a way that our faith The question, here's the problem. The question the disciples are asking, they don't even ask it. It's sort of a demand. It's like, increase our faith. We want more. We want more of this. And Jesus says, all you need is a little, and you have a lot. But then he turns it with this parable about servanthood. Do you thank people for doing what they were supposed to do?
No.
Maybe we should. I try to thank bank tellers and gas station attendants. I still go to full service so I can talk to a real person instead of using my card. I try to speak to people, meet people's eyes as I'm walking the dog. I had an opportunity, I was walking down the street and there was a fellow coming towards me and I said, good morning, and he said, thank you. I expected him to say good morning. And I thought to myself, have we come to this point where we're all so separated that to actually smile with a good morning is a gift that offers thanks? It seems that the disciples want to increase their faith, and that's a wonderful and beautiful thing, but let them not be haughty about it, because spirituality is not a competitive sport. It's not a hierarchy. And it seems to me that in this passage, Jesus is taking pride and shame and trying to balance them in the human mind. And I don't know, I find it more helpful to do that with a therapist than with a gospel. But here's the gospel, right? To not think of ourselves too high, but to not think of ourselves as doormats too low. Where is that sweet spot of trusting that a mustard seed is enough and there's room to grow without placing ourselves above others or beneath others? Rather, we are all one in Christ. And so I've been pondering how it is that we may increase our faith. And it seems to me that one of the ways to do that is with prayer. To take time for prayer, which is a practice that I have worked on throughout my life as a Christian. It's a wonderful practice to have a spiritual companion or a spiritual director to continue to grow that practice of prayer. I have this idea that prayer is actually a physical thing, and that to the extent that I pray in my study in my condo in Worcester, I have like a chair in the corner with a candle and a pretty lamp. And I have this idea that because I pray there day by day, week by week, year by year, oh, it's been a decade now, that there's energy of love in my home. Can you feel the sanctuary alive with the prayers of generations of First Congregational Church UCC folks in Natick? It's a holy space. There's a way that that sense of prayerfulness works online, which is kind of amazing. And I don't know about you, but I've had experiences in Zoom meetings or other kinds of online where there's just a sense of peace throughout my body and soul as I'm online. And I have this idea that we would all like to just have an increase of faith with prayer, but I know that there are things that get in the way. One of my favorite preachers, he's now passed on, he was a Disciples of Christ preacher, Fred Craddock, Reverend Dr. Fred Craddock. He was also a professor of preaching. And he told a story about this pastor way out in a little tiny town in North Carolina somewhere. And it was his first church. He was just out of, you know, seminary, ministry school. And one of his jobs was to visit the sick. And he got in his car, his Gremlin, this was a while ago, and drove to this little ramshackle house. Hadn't been there before, and he parks his Gremlin and gets out and shuts the door with this kind of a clunk and goes up these shaky porch steps and shaky rail and knocks on the screen door and, come in, says a voice, and So he opens the door and goes in, and there's Mrs. McGillicuddy on her recliner, and she says, "Oh, hello, Pastor. If you could please get the tea, it's in the kitchen. I can't get up with this knee of mine." And he goes into the kitchen, and sure enough, the kettle is on, and there's a tray with those dishes, the Corningware with little green flowers around the edge of the white saucer and the cup, and Lipton tea bags, a little pitcher of milk and some cubed sugar in a bowl, and a plate of vanilla wafer cookies. He brings it all out and sets it down and sits in the chair next to her recliner, and they have their tea and they chit-chat about the various things that one needs to talk about. There was a new organist at the church, and she wondered if it was true that he was playing hymns so slowly that people were going to sleep. She also was very worried about the white elephant sale and wondered how they ever managed to get that thing done without her help. And she was also worried about the altar flowers, which she thought were drooping a little bit, is what she heard when they came and delivered them. They hadn't been put in fresh water. She had a lot of opinions. Well, they moved off of church discussion into family discussion, and she had heard talk that there was going to be another strike in the coal mines and was really worried because her husband could lose his job and they'd make it through, but her son-in-law, she wasn't so sure that he could make it. You know, her daughter was expecting her second, and it had been a tough road, and she'd been so sick, and she was quite worried about that. And there had been a fire down the road at the neighbor's house, and she knew that they had been taken in by some other neighbors, but was hoping that there could be a team of people to help rebuild that house to get them safe at home. Well, they talked for about an hour, and the pastor felt like it was probably about time to go, and he got up to take his leave, and she said, "Pastor, are you not going to pray for me?" Oh, a bit embarrassed. "Oh, of course. And dear Lord, I would like to pray for Mrs. McGillicuddy that you would bless her and her family and keep her. Amen." And he picked up the tea tray, and she said, "You call that a prayer? You call that a prayer? I'm here to tell you, my knee done hurt. My knee hurts, and I need you to pray that this pain goes away so that I can get back to doing what I was doing and pray it like you mean it." Well, he was so startled that he did. "Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless Mrs. McGillicuddy and that you would heal her knee and that you would bring down your Holy Spirit upon her in such a way that she would have the strength and the ability and the flexibility to continue her work and her love. We believe in you and your power and your salvation. We pray with great hope and expectation, O Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And she said, "Amen." And that was a prayer. Don't seem to be feeling much pain there. She steps out, takes her cane. She puts her cane down. "Oh, look at this. Look here. I think the Lord healed." Harold, you come over here. This done preacher, he done healed my knee." And Harold came out. And do you know Harold? Mr. and Mrs. McGillicuddy, they polka'd from the living room into the kitchen, at which point the pastor slipped out the front door, went down those rickety steps, pulled open the door to his gremlin, sat down in the driver's seat, closed the door, put his Bible on the passenger seat, and before he started the car, he took a moment for prayer. He put his hands on the steering wheel, he bowed his head, and he said, "Gracious Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." What would happen if our prayers were answered, right? Oops. The truth be told, sometimes we're comfortable in our discomfort. Sometimes change is not easy. Sometimes our imaginations are not as broad as the kids that think about redwoods and palm trees and apple trees. I was thinking of a fir tree. I thought theirs were more interesting. How is it that we can free ourselves to increase our faith by increasing our prayer, to pray? There are times when those prayers are answered, to pray. There are times when those prayers are not answered, to pray. There are times when those prayers are not answered yet. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And I hope if I get to be 95, I don't know if I will, I hope I'll have an increase of faith, because I've been praying every day and hope to continue. And there's something about prayer that increases faith. It's not just prayer, it's trust. To increase our faith means we have to trust in God. And I wonder if it was easier for those disciples to trust God than it is for you and me, because they did not have the internet or social media or devices, phones, the kind of work where we're expected to put in hours like 50 and 60 hours a week without ever going outside or leaving a screen. The contemporary world is so hurried and harried. And I've been wondering what it means to trust God in this world. And I wonder if some of it means stepping out of that fast lane. Somehow being in a place of constant discernment. Because most of us use our calendars to discern what to do next, or we use a to-do list to decide what needs to be done. And that is well and good, but what if we also discerned what it is that God wills for us to do? It's easier to look at a calendar because you know which button to push. How do we know what God wants us to do? Keep coming to church. Her dad was 95. And his wife, her mom, had passed. And that big old house was really too much for him on his own. And he stayed there as long as he could because he was kind of stubborn and kind of knew what he wanted when he wanted it. And it was her mom who was the parent with all of the hugs and the kisses, and her dad was more stern, standoffish. And as his physical health began to fail and dementia began to set in, he needed to go to the nursing home, and they sold the house and he moved to the nursing home. It wasn't easy. She had three brothers, and she determined that for her part, she would make sure to get to that nursing home every week to visit her dad, and she did. Every week, on Wednesdays, before the kids got out of school, before she had to do, well, there was a long list. She had a part-time job, she had the kids to take care of, she needed to bake cupcakes for that Girl Scout program that they had. There were some things she needed to do to decorate, get the house ready for Thanksgiving. There was shopping to be done. It was a long list. And what she had in the back of her mind on that Tuesday was to visit her dad. And she checked her schedule again, and she was supposed to visit on Wednesday. She always visited on Wednesday. She was going to visit on Tuesday was a busy day. She didn't have time to do this. And as she's driving, she's just got this idea in the back of her head to visit her dad, which is weird because it wasn't Wednesday. And she got this idea to, so she just dropped the to-do list. Had a neighbor pick up the kids, and she went to the nursing home. Now, when she went to the nursing home, sometimes her dad would be sleeping, and she would just sit there quietly for a while. Sometimes he'd be awake, but kind of confused, and they'd have the same conversation repeatedly. And when she went in, he was awake, and he was sitting up, and she had a little conversation with him, and they had a lovely visit, as usual. And as she got up to go, she's headed to the door, and she's like, well, I'll see you later, Dad. And her dad says, okay, honey, I love you. And she put down her bag, and she went back in the room, and she said, Daddy, "You have never in my life said those words, 'I love you.'" And he looked at her and he said, "Well, just goes to show 95 isn't too old to change." And she stayed another half hour to talk to her dad. And it was a week later that he passed. And she was so grateful that she had that one conversation, that she had trusted that voice within, that call from God, to step out of her routine and do something different, to receive that blessing. Lord, increase our faith. And so we pray constantly, and we discern constantly, trusting God's will and God's direction. But there's another inkling of how to increase our faith. And I heard a few weeks ago, I think his name was Lecrae, and he's a Christian rap artist, and he was talking about, he grew up with no particular religion at all, and was seeking as a young adult, maybe in his late teens, early 20s, seeking to try to find some kind of religion in his life. And he tried all kinds of different philosophies and religions, and he showed up in a church full of gospel music. And he said it was the first time for him, because in all of his religious seeking, he was like looking up, right, to find God. And yet when he went to that particular Christian church, he felt Christ coming down to love him. And it's one of the gifts that we have as Christians, that our Lord and Savior provides such an intimate relationship with us. I continue to be amazed by that. Jesus is funny, he's loving, he can be stern, he can be confusing, he can be a shepherd holding this little lamb, you know, you and me. There's like, whatever it is that you and I need, there is Jesus. There is God. There is the Holy Spirit. There is a sense of intimacy, because God knew you and I before the beginning. And God will be there with you and I whenever time for this earthly life ends and we move on to the next phase of glory. And I don't know about you, but I want to increase my faith between cradle and grave. Right, to grow it more and more with these tools of prayer, these tools of discernment, but all grounded in this extraordinary intimacy with God, who loves me more than I can imagine. I've spoken to folks who have children who are so worried, and yet God, imagine this, God loves your child more than you do. Imagine that amount of love. God loves you more than you do. It's extraordinary, this opportunity to increase our faith into this infinity of intimacy, trust, and prayer. So how do we do all that? By just being. You gathered here. You gathered online. Keep coming. Keep showing up. Keep singing the hymns, hearing the scriptures, finding ways to pray, sharing with the children and the youth, visiting those who are sick and infirm, who are moved into retirement homes or nursing homes. My friends, church. We have church. What an extraordinary blessing. Increase our faith, for we have all that we could ever need. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
So I mentioned that prayer is a way to increase our faith, and we have the opportunity whenever we gather to worship to pray together. And so as a beginning of that time together, let us share any joys or concerns that we have, that we would invite the community to pray with us. Do we have joys and concerns this morning? Yes, Rick. Let us hold Pam in our prayers. This morning, she is moving to Concord, New Hampshire, to her new residence in a retirement community. And indeed, she's thinking of her beloved church, and her beloved church lifts her in prayer during this time of transition. Do we have other joys or concerns this morning to share with the community of faith? Yes, Sarah Lynn. Thank you. We keep Lorraine in our prayers, who is recovering from a broken leg at Oak Knoll. She would welcome your visits and cards and calls. So we give thanks for her faith and ask God to continue with healing her. Yes.
I have two today. One, my parents woke up to snow in the White Mountains, and I'm so excited, because that just means skiing and things like that. And then during this, sorry, I did look at my phone, but our own Beth finished her first half marathon today, and she had raised money for Dana-Farber as the charity she ran for. And we all know her story for this year has been very difficult, but that she completed it while we were in church today.
Praise God for Beth, who completed a half marathon while we are worshiping. And that money that she raised goes to Dana-Farber, which is a part of her story of healing. And we give thanks for Beth and thanks for all that she did. And we are also praising that we have snow in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And I'll have you know that I got a text out in the parking lot right before I came in, and my niece lives in Vermont, and they have snow too. So yeah, the seasons turn in New England. Get used to it. We praise God for snow. Yes. Would you please pray for families where there is one who is unexpectedly unemployed as the holiday season approaches? Let us pray for those families in that difficult situation. Yes.
Prayers of concern for the 200 some odd folks that have been displaced by the apartment complex fire out of UMass Amherst.
There was an apartment complex fire in UMass Amherst, and there are many who are displaced and homeless. Let's pray for them as they seek stability and new housing, yes.
Gratitude for seeing Sarah Ames with us. So glad she is here.
Sarah, good to have you with us. Praise God. Praise God. Are there any online prayers? Oh, no, okay. Any others here in the sanctuary? Then let us lift up these prayers spoken as well as those that are in our hearts, and let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for snow. We give you thanks for running in marathons. We give you thanks for children in the playground and in the classrooms. We give you thanks for a lifetime of faith. We give you thanks for those who are here with us today. We give you thanks for healing, recovering from broken bones, recovering from bouts with cancer, recovering with aging, aches and pains. We pray for those in the aftermath of fires in their homes. We pray for those who have lost jobs, that you would draw near to them with a security of comfort and stability and guide them toward resources, toward work, toward recovery. We pray for those who have no food, and we pray for those who are working in food banks and food pantries and meal kitchens, that you would increase the abundance of their work. We pray for those who have nowhere to live, that you would hover near and provide safety. We pray that there would be enough housing for all in our Commonwealth. We pray for those across the globe who are in war-torn lands. We pray for children and teens and young adults and seniors and people of all ages. We pray that you would help to ease whatever trauma they are suffering. We pray for peace. We pray for justice. And we pray that our hearts would remain open and vulnerable in a world that seems so sharp and harsh. Show us how to protect our hearts with your love without closing out the cries of those who suffer. Let us be more like you, more like Jesus, who always seemed to hear and know and love and see. Give us a moment of that mustard seed kind of faith here in this church. And may the love and fellowship and friendship and community we share with one another, welcoming all, being an intergenerational community of love, may that ripple out into the world. Increase our faith here that we may serve everywhere. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So many ways to respond to God with all sorts of love because God has given such love to us. And one of the ways that we respond to that is with our generosity. We have the opportunity to give of our money, our tithes, our offerings, and ourselves. And so let it be symbolic as we give of our money that we also give of our heart, of our time, of our love and of our life. With great joy and generosity, let us give and receive our morning offering. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would bless the giving of these gifts and bless the prayers over the plates as they were passed, and bless all of our generosity and show us ways to continue to spread your love and justice in the world. May these gifts be used to build up your ministry. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And now let us conclude by singing We Your People, God Confessing.
Thank you.